Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. I cannot, in no way, can I oversell the resurrection. I want to spread it thick. I want somehow, some way, everybody in the auditorium. By the way, this is a great Sunday crowd. Great crowd. We're almost back to Fundamental Baptist Church. And I'm thankful for you and thankful for everybody that is watching by way of live stream. But I want to spread it thick. The resurrection is big stuff. If Jesus Christ is not alive, we got nothing. We have nothing. We might as well join a pagan religion. We might as well bow down to a stick or to a stone. We might as well worship man, humanism. Find another object if Jesus is not alive. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is alive. The resurrection is God's amen to what happened at Calvary. The black work of the cross was done. The mocking, the beatings, the agony, the pain, the shame. 6 hours Jesus hung on the cross. 3 hours from midday till 3 o'clock, total blackness. The thunder, the earthquakes, the graves opening up. The veil in the temple ripping from top to bottom between the holy place and the holy of holies. Jesus crying out in agony, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," as the sins of the world were laid on his body. He is the sin bearer. He is the Lamb of God that took my place and took your place. The handwriting of the ordinances, the law, was nailed on him when he was hanging on the cross. Great price that was paid. 3 days, 3 nights. And then the bright sunshine of Sunday morning. Jesus conquers the grave. He is not here. He is risen. We're going to go back to that text at the end of the message this morning. And the end, when I say the end, it'll probably be about the two-thirds of the way through the message. I want to call your attention to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Someone in the church at Corinth, many people in the city of Corinth, were questioning the resurrection of Christ. To question the resurrection today is to close your eyes to the overwhelming historical evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. I want you to know, Paul writes this letter, and in chapter 15, he zeroes in on the resurrection because the resurrection is so big. There's no hill as big as Mount Calvary, but there was a stone that was rolled away 3 days later. And that living Savior came out of the grave. We don't worship a dead carpenter, a Jewish carpenter. We don't worship a religion. We don't worship a list of do's and don'ts. We worship the living Savior. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. He resurrected on the third day, as was prophesied in Psalm 16. He lives again, as was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 5. And he is raised to the right hand of the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for us. That's what Psalm 110 says. All kinds of Bible verses that refer to the resurrection. Here's the deal. He really is alive. For 40 days, he walked on this earth in his resurrected body. And the truth I'm going to tell you ahead of time before I get there is Jesus rose from the dead physically and bodily. And like he is, we one day will be. That is a promise of God. For 40 days, he was seen of individuals and he was seen of crowds multiple times. He ate with them. He drank with them. He walked with them. He talked with them. He prayed with them. The literal resurrected Jesus Christ. And that's the God that I worship. He's alive. I tell you again, before I read a verse, if he's not alive, we're wasting our time. There's no reason for me to come to church. Man, if Jesus isn't alive, I don't want anything to do with just going to a church meeting on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. There's better things that I could find to do, but there's nothing better than meeting and worshiping the living God of heaven. You got to know that. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Stand up with me, please. Let me read these next couple of verses. By which ye are also saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain or with no purpose. For I delivered unto you, first of all, here it is, here's the gospel in a nutshell, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Father, we come to you this morning. I pray, God, that the gospel would ring true. I pray that everyone in the auditorium this morning, hundreds of people here, that they would recognize and they would agree that Jesus is alive. God, if there's one not saved, we pray for their salvation. We pray that they would be confronted with the living God this morning. Not just an idea, not just another religion, but the living Son, the very Son of God that gave his life for the world and then rose again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved. The gospel is dynamite. Gospel dynamite. Two adults received Christ in our Sunday morning service last Sunday morning. The fact is, there are people all around us still in need of Christ. You rub shoulders with them, I rub shoulders with them. You speak with them, I speak with them. They're all around us. They're hungry. They're searching. They're looking in all the wrong places. And the last place they want to look is a graveyard religion. And that's the problem with a lot of New Testament churches, or what is called New Testament churches or New Testament Christianity. All we have, a lot of people, all they have is a graveyard religion. Our God lives. Paul said, there's some among you that are questioning the resurrection. I want you to know that I saw him. Verse 3 says, for I delivered first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. He said, most of the 500 men and women, they're still alive. Ask them. Ask them if Jesus is alive. Ask them if they saw him. Verse 7 says, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. That was on the road to Damascus. Sunday morning they come together. Sunday they would come together. First day of the week. We refer to it as the Lord's Day. Our God is not in the grave. The New Testament church worshiped on the first day of the week. That's when Paul, that's when John on the island of Patmos received the revelation, when he was worshiping on the first day of the week. Paul told the church at Corinth, you meet on the first day of the week. You take up those collections on the first day of the week. And in the book of Acts, they met on the first day of the week. Man, it was the Lord's Day. Why is that important? Because Jesus is alive. Amen. Sunday morning, resurrection morning. So here it is in the United States of America and around the world. And we still meet on the first day of the week. Amen. And we understand that our God is a living God. That's right. And that's why we set aside this day for God's glory. And certainly not for our own. Let me read on here. Verse 9 says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I like that. I like that statement. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. And that's because of the power of God. That's because of the power of the gospel. There's been a change. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If Jesus is alive, why are some living like he is not alive? If Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit indwells every believer, how can a New Testament Christian get up on Monday morning and not practice the presence of God, whoever they're with or wherever they go? He's alive. The scripture is very clear. If there is no resurrection, there's a whole lot of bad news. Let me run through the list quickly. And then from there, we're going to jump ahead and we're going to go over to Luke in chapter 24. Verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus is gone. He's still in the tomb. His bones are rotting somewhere in Jerusalem. But Jesus is alive. It isn't bad news. There is a resurrection. You see, some people don't want a resurrection. They don't want to stand before God, whether it be the Bema seat or the great white throne judgment. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. I've heard a lot of vain preaching, a lot of empty preaching. In fact, I've done some of that in my lifetime, where I'm standing up and I'm preaching, and instead of the power of God, it's just kind of like some words. I'm thinking, Lord, get us through this sermon. Deliver me from this sermon. Get us all out of this sermon as quickly as we can. And if you don't have a resurrection, if you don't have a living God, if you don't preach a Jesus that is real, then it's just a lot of nice sounding words. That's all it is. It's a lot of froth. And lives are never going to be changed. Preaching is meaningless if there is no resurrection. Your faith is vain. It says in that very same verse, verse 14. Yeah, and your faith is also vain, empty. Faith is an empty dream. If there is no resurrection, that'd be bad news. But I have good news. There is a resurrection. And Jesus is alive. And Paul, like a Philadelphia lawyer, he's just laying this out. Paul was a learned man. You understood? He knew five languages. Paul was a member, I believe, of the Sanhedrin, the ruling 70 in the nation Israel. Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Before he was Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. In order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to memorize the first five books of the Word of God. He had it all committed to memory. So he's laying it out like a Philadelphia lawyer, and he's telling him, listen, those of you that want to pick and choose your doctrine, if there is no resurrection, you don't have salvation. If there is no resurrection, there's no such thing as faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Who's your faith in if Jesus isn't alive? In mankind? In the goodness of man? Are you kidding? Who's your faith in? A politician? You got to be kidding. If Jesus is not alive, we got nothing. We might as well just close up shop, lock the doors, and leave the church house forever. Why would we waste our time here? Your faith is an empty dream. Look at verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If Jesus did not rise from the dead physically and bodily, then Christians are liars. They're all just spitting forth lies hatched in the bowels of hell. Yet Jesus said in John 14:9, because I live, ye shall live. Wherefore he's able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto Christ by God, come unto God by Christ, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Take your Bibles and turn to John in chapter 11. Gospel of John in chapter 11. Quick as you can turn there. Oh, that's not what I want. Let's see. I'll think of the passage and what it's about. John 14, maybe. Let me look. Nope, it is 11. Jesus saith unto her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is alive. He prophesied. His rising from the dead. He told his apostles, his disciples and his followers, I'm going to the cross, and 3 days afterwards, I'm going to conquer the grave. And it kind of went over all of their heads. I don't know if they thought he was spiritualizing or what, or if in the moment of crisis at the crucifixion, they forgot all of it. I'm not really sure, but the fact is this, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then every Christian you and I know, they're liars. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:8, I saw him. John said in Revelation 1:18, I saw him. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3, I saw him. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, I saw him. He's alive. Verse 17, go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 again. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we as sinners are just going to die in our sins and go to hell because we're not able to fulfill the law. That's bad news, except that's not the truth. Verse 18 says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, my dad went to hell. If Jesus did not physically and bodily rise from the dead, my mom went to hell. My grandma, my grandpa, my other grandma, my kid brother, they're all burning in the devil's hell if there is no resurrection. But I got good news. There is a resurrection. Amen. Jesus did rise from the dead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Would you turn over there quickly? 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or those that have died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Listen, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you aren't saved. If you don't believe in the and accept the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're not born again. You have no hope of eternal life. But my Bible teaches me that Jesus is our first fruits. Jesus is the one that went before us. And that Jesus went to the grave, having paid for my sin on the cross, where he made blood atonement for my sin. Substitutionary death, like the Lamb of God. He took on his body the sins of the world, Tim Raider sins. 2,000 years ago, on Mount Calvary, on that black hill, for 6 hours, my sins were on him. And he nailed the law to the cross. And then they took him down from the cross after he dismissed his spirit, and they put his corpse in a rich man's tomb. And he took my sins with him. And then he bodily and physically rose again on the third day. And he's alive. Amen. Go to John in go to Luke in chapter 24. Luke and chapter 24. Let me read verse 19 of 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Man, if all there is to Christianity is religionity, we're wasting our time. I mean, we're doing things that sometimes are hard to do. We're giving up things that sometimes are hard to give up. And if there is no resurrection, if Jesus didn't bodily and physically rise from the dead, then all this is just another religion in the 7 billion people that are here on this earth. And somewhere on the earth today, many people are worshiping sticks. Some are worshiping stones. Some are worshiping philosophies. Some are worshiping themselves. Some are worshiping animals, of all things. Some are worshiping Mother Earth. There is no Mother Earth. There's fallen man, and there's the curse upon mankind. You know, but people are worshiping something. They're worshiping sports heroes. Try praying to a sports hero. See if you get your prayers answered. And they don't even know who you are. And you bow down to their little altars and they're wonderful. You know, the fact is, there's only one God. His name is Jesus, and he is alive. Look what it says. I'm winding this down real quick. If you'll give me 5 to 10 minutes, I'll be able to wrap this up and tie it up tight. Verse 1 of chapter 24. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone, the great stone, the mega stone, rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, first thing they're thinking of, somebody stole the body. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Greek word there means dazzling garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, because they're in the presence of some supernatural beings, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. Don't look to dead orthodoxy. The angels standing there said, why are you looking for the living Son of God in a tomb? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Verse 8, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. That's right. He told us he was going to rise again. And this is the third day. And the tomb is empty. Man, they're excited. Peter goes running down there. John goes running down there. They're all excited. It's almost, it's too good to be true. And it's really not sinking in. Two disciples are on the road to Emmaus, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village of Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs or about 7 miles. And they walked together of all these things which had happened. They're pretty excited. They're perplexed. What's going on? Man, the grave is empty. And Calvary was a terrible thing. What in the world's happened? In verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden. In other words, God somehow withheld their understanding. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Jesus very casually says, what are you guys talking about? They don't know that they're talking to Christ. And that's because Jesus withheld their understanding. Verse 18 says, and the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger? He was incredulous. Are you a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And they told him about Calvary. He said unto them, what things are, and they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been the one which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And they said, man, his body's gone. Let me kind of paraphrase here just a little bit. His body's gone. And they tell him all about it. And Jesus said, oh, ye that lack understanding. He calls them fools. It's not a harsh word here. It just means they lack understanding. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He went to Isaiah 53. He went to Zechariah chapters 9 and through verse 11. He went through the Pentateuch and the prophets and the history books and the scripture, the Old Testament scriptures, and he told them of the coming Messiah and that he was that Messiah. And man, it was, their hearts burned within them. Verse 32 says, then said what they one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Their eyes were open in verse 31, and then he vanished out of their sight. This is the resurrected Christ. This is his glorified body. So he walks and talks and fellowships and explains Old Testament prophecies to the two disciples as they're on their way to the village of Emmaus. And then he opens their eyes and they understand they're walking with Jesus, and then he vanishes. They look at one another and they're excited. They're astonished. They said, man, my heart burned within me. He made the scriptures live. Verse 32. Did not our heart burn within us? Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. That word indeed is in fact. It's factual. The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon, to Peter. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto him, peace be unto you. The four times that Jesus in his resurrected body appeared to the disciples, he had the same message all four times. First thing he said was, peace. Don't be afraid. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now, this is what I'm coming to right here. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. It says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, we shall know him, we shall see him, we shall know him, and we shall be like him. We one day too will be resurrected. Jesus said, fellas, what are you afraid of? He appears before them and he says, don't be afraid. And they're terrified. He said, fellas, it's me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. Touch me. Here's the scars from the cross. Touch me. It's me. Oh my goodness. They were so excited. I want you to know that our God lives. You quit thinking about him like with your American mindset, and all you know about life is 70 and the cemetery, and that's all you know. All you know about life is you sit down at the dinner table and you fill your body to try to get energy so you can make it through the rest of the day, and then you got to sleep at night, and that's all you know. And everything we know is limited. But Jesus, in his glorified body, he walked with men. For 40 days, he talked with men. He ate with them. He broke bread with them. They probably sang together. He taught them scriptures. You know, he's alive. He is a living God. Let's wrap this up. Let's read just a little bit more. And again, the cultist will tell you he's not alive. The cultist will tell you it was some kind of spiritual resurrection. No, no. And when Jesus comes for his church, he will come literally. And he will come physically. And he will come bodily. Because he's going to return just like he went. Verse 40 says, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, it was too good to believe, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? You got any food? Glory, our glorified bodies. I gained 5 pounds in the 4 days I was gone. We didn't pass a restaurant. We didn't pass a buffet. It just didn't, you know, I thought, hey, you know what? You're only going to live once, and this is vacation. Let's eat, Deb. Verse 42 says, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He said, those 6 hours I hung on the cross, that had to be fulfilled. I had to die for the sins of the world. You understand the mockings and the beatings and the scourgings, that mock trial, that was all messianic prophecy. Those things had to happen. I had to die. I had to go to the grave. And I rose again on the third day. And it's really me. I'm alive. Verse 45 says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, the call to God, and remission of sins, that's forgiveness, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise, that's the Holy Spirit of the Father, upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Fellas, this is the way it had to be. It was prophesied. I would die on the hill of Calvary. They would take me to the grave, the tomb of Josephus. They would put me in that tomb, and I would rise again on the third day. And here I am. I'm alive. Now, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait in the upper room until the day of Pentecost. You'll be endued with power from on high. The promise of God is God the Holy Spirit. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, you go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit, the promised one, the helper, is going to come. The church is going to be born, and you let her rip. You preach the gospel to every tribe, nation, and tongue. Every kindred, everyone that will listen. You preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. I'm preaching that this morning. If you're here and you don't know that you're born again, you got to know this. You're on the outside looking in. There's a Jesus that died for you and provided for you eternal life. And it is the gift of eternal life. And all you need to do is come to him. The call has gone forth. The gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus took your place, and then he conquered death. And he rose again on the third day. And if you'll receive him, if you'll ask for forgiveness of sins, knowing that you're a sinner, that's repentance. Knowing that you're a sinner, he'll save you this morning. And we need to preach that gospel message to the whole world. It's not about building facilities. It's not about building a kingdom here on this earth. It's about reaching the world, people, men, women, little boys, little girls, reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we are here. Are you involved? Are you telling people about Jesus? You say, well, I've been living like a hermit for almost a year. Time to get going. Tell people about Christ. Are you sure you're born again yourself? If not, come to Christ this morning. It's so easy. I promise you, I won't embarrass you. If you'll pray and receive Christ today, you'll get eternal life. Pastor Rader doesn't give it to you. Jesus Christ gives it to you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.